Welcome to the Nolan Podcast from National Oil and Lube News. I'm your host, editor Hannah Bubser. Today's episode is the second part of a conversation between myself and Victory Lane Quick Oil Change President and CEO, Justin Chalilla. If you haven't listened to the first part yet, it's linked in this episode's description. Today, we're picking up where we left off. Justin shares his thoughts about team management, development, leadership, service opportunities, and what he's excited about for the future of quick maintenance.
So you spoke about how this process kind of starts when you're hiring and bringing on people. Once they're through the door, how can you implement strategies for developing these employees once they're in your shop? And you touched on some of this too in your last answer there when you spoke about these conversations and goal setting. What are some other strategies for ensuring there's development?
A couple things. First and foremost, I think if you are hiring anyone, as an owner or as a manager, you've got to take it seriously. You should have a set of objectives. What are you hiring this person for? What are they going to be doing for you? What role are they filling within the organization? And what are the objectives that go along with those roles? And if you don't have those job objectives, then you need to write them out. And if you don't know how to write them, I'm going to refer you to PAMA, to the association, for some guidance. And there's certainly other guidance out there. But I think it starts with having a clear understanding as to what you're hiring this person to do and what they're supposed to be doing. Once they're hired, do you have a training program? You know, are you able to train them? And a lot of our training is done on the job, sort of real time. But there's also a lot of it that can be done, in the sort of classroom setting, whether you're using the online training academy that PAMA has, which is free to members, or whether you're using something else that you've developed. You've got to have a training program, and within the training program, there's got to be check-in points where you're coming back to the employee and saying, okay, well, this is how you're doing. Here's where you're at in terms of your 30, 60, 90, 120 day performance. When people understand what's expected of them, i.e. the job objectives, when they're trained on how to execute on those job objectives, then as a manager, your job is to evaluate, you know, are they able to execute or are they not? And if they can't execute, then what are the reasons? Is it a deficiency in knowledge? They just don't know what they're doing, so there's training, or is there another impediment that is preventing them from, you know, taking that next step? But there's got to be a comprehensive training program in there, and it can't just be you show up to work on Monday, you throw a uniform on, or in some cases, no uniform, and the person just sort of walks around the shop aimlessly and tries to pick up, you know, what other people are doing. That's not how you train anyone. And you know, every successful shop out there and organization out there has a very well-defined training program, career path, job objectives for their employees.
You brought up a lot of really good points about training there in that answer. And I want to ask you, why is it so important for shops to invest their time and efforts into those elements of training or in developing these employees? For the business, how does this set up a shop for success, not only in the short term and onboarding these employees and having them provide services, but also in the long term for their shop?
I mean, I would say the simplest, most candid answer to that is money. Okay. If your employees are trained on what to do, then they're going to execute on the business model. And if the business model is the correct one, you're going to make money. And, you know, that is, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're in business to do. We're not, you know, we're not nonprofits. We're not charities. We're trying to make a profit. And so the only way you're going to get there is with trained, highly trained individuals that can execute and deliver to the customer exactly what they need. If you don't invest in that, then you're going to struggle as a business owner. You're going to have to be much more involved in the business in terms of the day-to-day, literally car-to-car operations that are, you know, that are coming through the door. And those are the business owners that I see that are, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. They haven't, they've struggled. And now they're at the, you know, they're at the end and they want to basically sell their business, and they wonder why it's not worth what, you know, what they think it is. So I think that the training really provides the underpinning for success. If you're not willing to do that, that to me is the most basic thing. You know, longer term, there's a direct cost to employee turnover. We know that. You know, in Victory Lane, it's over $600 an employee. So that's how much is invested in initial training, setup, uniforms, just to get a new in onboarding and recruiting, just to get a new employee in the door, set up, ready to go. So if we can't keep them for, you know, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, well, then we failed, and then we're incurring additional costs on our business, and it's just not good. And that will then start to manifest into poor customer service, warranty claims, everything else. So the success of your business, both short and long term, really comes back to the people you bring in, the people you hire, and the people you train. You get out of it what you put into it. If you're not willing to put the training into it, well, you're not going to get the money out of it, you know, whether it's in the form of revenue coming in from the customers, or ultimately if you're trying to exit at some point down the road. So, and this is akin to, you know, the discussion, you know, that I often have with business owners on marketing. Well, they see marketing as an expense, and it's hard to get their head around the value of that. Well, same thing here. Sometimes it's hard for owners to see, you know, the value in the training and the time and the commitment that they have to make in order to get to the end result. And there is a lot of time, money, and commitment involved with you know, what I just laid out. But I think that ultimately, you can look around at any industry, any business out there, and you know the ones where training is front and center. It's a marquee of their business, and everything else just sort of cascades off that. And we frequent those businesses because we get great experiences as customers. We feel that there's value. And most often or not, we don't really question the price, right? So.
Yeah, and we've been talking a lot about setting that groundwork with people, with processes in the shop. But I want to go back to kind of what we started the conversation with here today, with the service side and the importance of an oil change isn't going away anytime soon. But what are some of your thoughts on services that are being offered in the preventative maintenance, quick maintenance space, and how those are going to potentially stay the same or maybe differ a bit as we move forward? This could look like a lot of different things, you know, with service diversification or with continuing on kind of the quick lube only trail, What are your thoughts on those services and what that's going to look like as we go forward?
So I'm a huge advocate of the sort of preventative maintenance model. I think we've talked about this before, which is the full suite of maintenance services, preventative maintenance services, up and to the point, but not repairing the vehicle. You know what I'm saying? So we don't get into the light repairs, because in my opinion, there is no such thing as a light repair. So within that context, I think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity and a tremendous amount of opportunity to make a lot of money if you're able to execute it. And you know, the vehicles are coming in with well over 100,000 miles on them now. That's mostly, you know, I've seen estimates 110 to 120 in terms of the average miles coming in, 12 and a half, 13 years old. These cars need to be maintained in order to keep them on the road. And, you know, if you look at the overall economic environment that we're currently in, you know, new car sales have declined. You don't see folks going out and buying new cars and leasing new cars. So they're really interested in how, you know, in making sure that their investment stays working properly over time. And so I think, you know, that all falls within the preventative maintenance space. I'm not a big advocate for the limited models out there, especially the guys that are doing the lube oil filter and think that they're going to make it up on volume. I think, one, if you really look at the economics of that, it doesn't excite me. Two, I think you're doing the customer a huge disservice. You know, someone comes in for what they believe is routine maintenance on their vehicle, and you just do one component of that maintenance, but you happen to notice that there's other things that their vehicle needs. I think you're doing a disservice to that customer by not informing them of what they need and being able to perform the services. You know, so that's my take on it. I don't see much more diversification in terms of the service offerings than what we currently have. You know, obviously there is the whole EV component that's out there, and as that market continues to grow, and I'm sure it will, we'll be able to offer some level of service to those customers. But most of those customers have combustion engine vehicles, so there's an opportunity there as well to service both at some point down the road.
So seeing as we've been talking about business longevity throughout this conversation, I want to ask, what excites you about the future of this industry? What are you looking forward to as we move into the future of the industry here, whatever that ends up looking like?
Well, there's a lot. One, I think there's just the demand side of this is only going to get better. I think that as preventative maintenance operators, quick lube operators, we occupy a very unique position in the market that has really been insulated from competitors, you know, i.e. dealerships. So I think those are exciting, but I think the changes in technology that are coming are going to be very interesting. You know, I saw something the other day where there is now complete automated inspection stations. I know a lot of our operators are doing vehicle inspections and emissions inspections and that type of stuff. And I saw an actual machine that, you know, you basically drive the vehicle on and, you know, it's got a bunch of different sensors and what have you that figure out what's going on with the vehicle, determine the health of the vehicle and the issues. That's pretty exciting. There's a lot of technology being poured into the marketing side of the business. you know, in terms of how we're reaching customers and you know, what's happening digitally with marketing has been pretty pretty interesting to me, and certainly to watch in the market and experience. The other thing that's going on is you're going to see the technology of the vehicles change, you know, so that's going to offer some potentially some more opportunity as well as some challenges, but that's, you know, those are all exciting things.
Thanks for listening to the Nolan podcast from National Oil and Lube News. For more content, visit our website at nolan.net or follow us on social media. Just search for National Oil and Lube News. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure that you never miss another. Subscribe to the Nolan podcast wherever you listen. I'm editor Hannah Bubser, and I'll talk to you more next time.